Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 166 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of September 8th, 2017. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me as always is resident Metrioid, Dan Ryan.
Metrioid? Is that what you typed?
Yeah, no, that's the story.
Oh. Shit, I should be more prepared.
We'll
never
get
mind.
To that later.
Let me get
it's
back
okay,
to it.
Don't be more prepared because it'll be funnier when you hear about it later. There's been a lot of news in the gaming world over the last month or so. More than month or so, actually. So Dan and I are going to talk about
some
stuff
years that we haven't talked about this.
We're going to talk about some of the stuff we found most interesting. Before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekcave.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. Last week at the end of the episode, I said Patrick Hickey was going to be on here, and that was a lie. He's coming next week. I clearly cannot read my own calendar. I realized it after, like, right after we recorded the show, too. It was Dan and I talked about it afterwards. And I'm like, wow, I am an actual jackass.
And, well, that we all knew.
Yeah, but now there's scientific proof of it, so.
Dan, how you doing? Audio recorded proof. I'm doing all right, Chris. I'm doing all right. I've talked about Puzzle and Dragons quite a bit on this podcast, and I know it's Evan's favorite part of the show when I mention Puzzle and Dragons. However, just this week, I have gotten a few different people shooting me messages on Twitter that have said, all right, you've broken us down, we've downloaded it, and it's good. And I've even had one person who came back and said, I played the game a couple years ago, and I had fallen off of it, but since you keep talking about it, I downloaded it again. And I'm enjoying the shit out of it. So, yay for more Puzzle and Dragon.
Yay.
We're having an effect, Chris.
We are.
I don't know if it's a positive effect or not. I'm not sure. But we are having some sort of an effect.
There are people who listen and then do things.
That's great. It's kind of like, but not for nothing. It's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. When the two of us worked at Toys R Us together and we sold video games, we thought, you know, we can affect these people's lives by selling them E.T. for Game Boy Color.
Mm-hmm.
But we never thought that we'd be able to take it further than that.
No, that was about the height of our powers.
We could do funny things on the cameras in the back room.
Yes, tea parties.
In the booth. Yeah, tea parties in the booth.
But those were that was so much the halcyon days of yore. However,
but now we do it and nobody pays us to.
No, now we just fucking do it because it's a Wednesday and we don't have much else to do on a Wednesday night. But like, no, like having that, it's validation to a point, but like, because I've always wondered that, you know, because I will listen to podcasts or get recommendations from different shows or people that I like or whatever. And I don't ever send anybody messages. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, hey, you did a cool thing, so I dug it and downloaded it and liked it. You know, but people have reached out to me. So, like, people are doing the same thing that I did with other shows, and that's just kind of cool.
I agree with that. Yeah. I concur with that sentiment. I do send messages to people. As a matter of fact, I just reached out to, I became a Patreon of Poop Poop Fart.
Why wouldn't you become a Patreon of Poop Poop Fart?
Poop Poop Fart is surprisingly, you know, name aside, he's like the most, not the most amazing, but one of the most amazing video game cover people I've ever seen. Like,
really?
He ranks up there as far. It's pretty different from what Ollie does.
Sure.
It's more like he uses all kinds of weird stuff to make the cover songs, and he does covers of songs that I never thought I would ever hear anyone cover ever. Like
Cobra Triangle's theme music?
No, but David Wise. Weird stuff from Donkey Kong Country 2, like Mining Melancholy. Like, all these things that don't use traditional instruments. And he does this, it's incredible work with like lots of melodicas and PVC pipes and a cajon and like all kinds
That's
of
cool.
Really, really awesome stuff. And his name is Poop Poop Fart. And I was watching, see, I just recently found out about the guy. Apparently, he's been doing this stuff for years. And I just found out about him, like, maybe a couple of, I'd say about a month or so ago. And I was looking through his YouTube channel, and I found this, like, update. Apparently, he went away for a while, and he came back. And he went to go open up a Twitter account, and the name Poop Poop Fart was already taken. So, he opened up a Twitter account, Crap Crap Toot.
Wow.
I love this guy.
Wow. That's amazing.
So yeah, I just reached out to him. I became a patron, and I asked him a couple of questions, and I asked him if he'd be interested in being on the show. He hasn't gotten back to me yet, so fingers crossed, because I would like to talk to the man who calls himself Poop Poop Fart.
That's I would also like to speak to the man. We need to get on this Patreon thing, Chris.
We do. We do just need saying. To get on this Patreon.
Let's handle business on the show. This is riveting.
This is good podcasting right here. Also, speaking of Patreon, I haven't really had a chance to flip through it yet, but I got the new issue of Nintendo Force in the mail. I am stoked because it's got Metroid on the cover. And
nice.
It's amazing. I can't believe that I'm like, we're so close to playing a new Metroid game.
Days. This is, literal days away.
From playing a new Metroid game, and the fine folks at Level Up Entertainment were able to snag me some of the amiibos, so I'm going to get the pair of amiibos. I don't even have a way to use them in the game.
Sure.
Like, I don't have that little disc scanny thing, although I might seek one out now that I know I'm getting the amiibos. But, like, there's a squishy Metroid amiibo. I'm so excited.
Well, like, what's going to be really interesting about this Samus Returns remake is that Sakamoto is involved in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the only like 2D, the only non-Metroid Prime games that Sakamoto has not been involved in was Metroid 2 originally.
Yeah.
That's the only one. So to see this guy who has had arguably the biggest influence over the direction of the series for good or bad,
I would say mostly for good.
Other M
was the story in Other M.
Yeah.
Like, I still maintain the gameplay is fine.
But to see what he does with what was there is going to be, I'm really interested to see, like, if there's, like, if you can see any little fingerprints on it. You know what I mean?
I read an interview with him where he was saying that he just has so much respect for what they did with Metroid 2, and he was really excited to kind of put his stamp on it. I can't wait. I cannot wait to play this game.
It's such an interesting kind of... and that's a podcast I'd like to do. Let's schedule it for January, where we talk about how the Nintendo R&D1 games, because the sequels to the games that they made, Kid Icarus and Metroid and things like that,
mm-hmm.
were production of the NES was winding down, and R&D1 then was developing the Game Boy, so they moved the games that they developed over to the Game Boy. That's why you get Of Myths and Monsters and Metroid 2 on Game Boy instead of SNES. It's an interesting show there.
Word.
All right.
Well, like, look at this. Taking care of business.
January.
On the show.
Done. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be really cool to see how it compares to Metroid 2 and how it compares to AM2R.
Which is, actually, we are doing a podcast on that in a couple
of
weeks.
Yes, we are.
We're going to be talking about, because Dan and I are obviously both getting this game, so we're going to talk about it in a couple of weeks, pretty much comparing it to AM2R and the original game and seeing how it holds up and what's good, what's bad. I'm just so excited to play
mm-hmm.
this game.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, all I've been doing gaming related this week, besides like a little bit of Splatoon here and there with my son, is like I rewatched the old game trailers, Metroid Retrospective, which is so super good. I love watching that thing. And I've been playing a little bit of Metroid Zero Mission just because.
It's great.
It's
Zero
great.
Mission is phenomenal.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't want to go too much farther in this, but the thing about this this new Metroid game is that it's the first dark, and I don't mean dark as in like serious dark. I mean like visibly dark Metroid 2D Metroid game since Super Metroid.
Yeah,
because Zero Mission and Fusion were both very colorful.
Very, and, especially Fusion.
Yeah, and it was because the Game Boy Advance didn't have backlighting, so you have to make those games nice and bright and bold. And that's not a bad thing. Those games are freaking masterpieces.
Oh, but sure.
This game looks dark.
And it does.
Like, it looks like the art style, the art direction of a modern Metroid game, and I'm so stoked. Anyway, all right. So let's
on to the news.
On to the news.
That's so, kind of news.
That was kind of news. We'll be getting to another piece of Metroid news in a bit, right before the break, actually. But the first thing that's coming up here is the piece of news that came out recently that I am the most excited for, and I'm kind of surprised that this isn't showing up in more places. The prototype for SimCity for NES has been found. According to the... let's see, it showed up on a Nintendo Age a little while back, and... let's see, some dude walked into a game store and traded in these prototype carts.
So he traded them in Portland? Is that where the store that acquired them is?
Big Daddy Ramirez is the owner of Back in Time. This is coming from Nintendo Age, a chain of game stores in the Seattle area. And
okay.
Like unicorns are wont to do. They both walked in the other day. We just got off the phone with him, seeing as we've been waiting for this moment all our lives, it seems, and learned that both copies will be making an appearance at PRGE this year. That's the Portland Retro Gaming Expo. So yeah, they both copies walked into a game store and...
Which is crazy. And like, it makes sense that they would appear in Seattle, Nintendo having their American headquarters in Seattle.
This is where this kind of stuff comes from. Yeah.
Yeah. But it makes you wonder what else there might be that we just don't know about. Like, this is crazy. SimCity, these proto carts are there. Star Fox 2 is going to officially be released this year.
Uh-huh.
You know, like...
Like a year or two ago, we just got, Nintendo released Earthbound Beginnings on the virtual console.
Which is just crazy.
The Nintendo PlayStation was found, like, a year or two ago. Like, crazy stuff, man. And this is what it is also just a little piece of funny about this SimCity NES thing, is that when it was previewed in Nintendo Power, it was previewed on the same page as Earthbound. Both, like, that was the bulk of the page, and then, like, Star Tropics was off to the side.
Star Tropics, this game nobody's going to give a shit about.
There's this little game, Star Tropics, that SimCity and Earthbound, neither of them came out. So, I loved SimCity for Super Nintendo, and I liked SimCity 2000, and I didn't really mess with SimCity after that. But I am really, really excited to try this. I hope it gets dumped. Like, I hope it finds its way online, and not just because I want to play it, but more than anything in the world, I want to hear it. Because from what I've come to understand, this is also a Soyo Oka joint, and she did some of my favorite game music, including the Super Nintendo version of SimCity, Pilot
which has
Wings,
phenomenal music,
Super Mario All-Stars. I mean, Soyo Oka is the original Super Mario Kart. Like, this woman did some great music, really, really classic Nintendo stuff. And I'm pretty sure she did the music for this. There was a guy, and now I'm totally blanking on his name.
Steve.
I think it's Brad, but he did this.
It's always Brad.
He fixed the music for Star Tropics for NES. Talked about this on a Wave Back a while ago. He went in and fixed this weird glitch and made the music work right, because there's a couple of glitches in the music in the original NES game. And I follow him on Twitter, and he just mentioned that he was super excited because about the music. And I was like, wow, I was thinking the same thing. And he mentioned that it was like new Soyo Oka stuff. Well, not new, but
new to everybody else. That would be like me finding like new Weezer shit.
Yeah.
And not like and years after Weezer had stopped doing stuff, or like just and maybe that's not even a really good comparison, but like that's fucking exciting.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's substantiated. I can't say for sure that the music is Soyo Oka's.
No, it's official. We said it.
We said it.
It's good.
So you can hear a tiny bit of it. There was a video released of them playing it at the store, the people that found it. And there's an annoying either kid or girl, somebody in the background that just keeps saying this is eerily similar to the Super Nintendo game. But watching the video of it, it is really neat, but they keep talking and I just want to hear it. I hear what it sounds like.
I am sure that this will get dumped because, as you know, Chris, as you and I both know, the emulation scene is not to play pirated games. It is for preservation.
I would say that at least, all joking aside, a considerable chunk of it is indeed for that. And this
is
something.
It really is. I know I say that sarcastically, but
I would hate to see this thing get trapped because somebody doesn't want they want to keep it for themselves. I would absolutely hate that.
I would have to imagine
it's possible
that this will be out there.
I mean, I know that other thing, like the original source code for stuff has been lost because collectors have gotten it and then the stuff just rots and they never dumped it. And then that's the end of it. Like, these things aren't getting any younger. For the love of God and all that is holy, I really, really hope that they dump this because I want to mess with it. I want to hear it. And I haven't played SimCity in a long time. I'd love an excuse to. And I would love a repro cart of this. I would pay money for a repro cart of this game to pop in an NES and have a hoot with.
I'm sure you're going to. Just like I'm sure you're going to buy a repro cart of Star Fox 2. Because
you know
that's coming.
Yeah, because there's no way that game's not getting dumped.
Oh,
like,
God,
the final
no, that,
version.
That'll
and
be
now
out
the
day of.
Yeah, I am jazzed about that.
Yeah.
But we'll talk a little bit more about Star Fox 2 in a little bit. Actually, you know what? What the hell? Let's just bring it up now.
Oh, man, I had such a good segue with carts. But all right, whatever.
We can still do it. We can still do that.
Okay.
I promise. I'll bring it back to carts.
Okay.
Then you can segue it, all right?
So, I mean, I set it up for you.
You did.
Put it on a tee.
So Star Fox 2, Nintendo, in I guess an uncharacteristically awesome Nintendo move, which I guess is kind of this whole Star Fox 2 thing, they put an instruction manual for Star Fox 2 online, like just a free instruction manual for the whole game, which is kind of awesome. It's got lots of artwork in it from Star Fox 2. And
it's an old school instruction manual. Awesome.
It is, and included in this is the actual design document for Star Fox 2, which is all in Japanese, but it is so cool to look at. It's on graph paper, and it's all handwritten. It's just literally the original design document for the game with, you know, stage layouts and all sorts of funny diagrams and pictures, and I love it.
It's
very
cool.
I can't believe this happened.
And you're right, it is somewhat uncharacteristically cool of Nintendo to do something like this because they usually play very close to the vest.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those, this is a real look behind the curtain. And,
yeah.
And that's just fantastic. I love this instruction manual. The instruction manual alone was enough. Like, I didn't even realize the design document was there when I looked at this on my phone at work. And then I was, you know, looking up news stories for tonight's show. And I saw that the design doc was in there, and that just melted my brain. And what's so cool about this instruction manual is that it looks like it could be cut up to be in the right sizes for pages for a Super NES manual, which means that somebody is going to take this, cut it up, print it as an actual manual. They released the cover art for this game, like the box art, quote unquote box art for it. So somebody's going to be able to make this into a proper cartridge and release it. And I will buy the heck out of it.
Hey, hey, Chris, though.
Yeah.
Is there a website where you could get game boxes?
Well, there is a website where you can get bit boxes. Which is StoneAgeGamer.com. They
tell,
do bit boxes.
Tell me about bit boxes.
Yeah, bit boxes are very nice. Although there is another place I would send people to look for reproduction boxes for games that never existed, which is Uncle Tusk.
Yes.
He's got some really awesome stuff. That's where I bought a box for my Mario Duck Hunt and my Super Mario All-Stars plus World-class track meet for NES, like games that never actually had boxes. He actually has a box and has had for a long time a box for SimCity for NES, which I've always wondered why, because it doesn't exist.
It does now.
I guess
now.
It's just for funsies. super, super cool stuff on that site. And if you just want to get a really durable clamshell box, BitBoxes are awesome.
Yes,
shameless,
they are.
Shameless shilling. But yes, absolutely. If somebody does put this together and make, because there's a lot of Star Fox 2 repro carts out there now, but a finalized official one with an official like really all the official stuff that was never released, I'd be pumped about buying that cartridge.
I would be pumped for you to buy it because I'm still not going to play it.
I can't wait. I got my pre-order. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Did you get one? You got a pre-order in?
I did. I did get a pre-order in.
Nice.
I can't remember if we talked about that on the show.
We did.
When I went to, I had to go to GameStop. I know I wrote about it on Stone Age Gamer blog.
I don't read what you write.
It was.
I have to talk to you. That's enough.
Waited on a Target's website and that didn't pan out for me because I had it in my cart and then it was sold out before. I just got a weird text message. Yes, it was sold out before I could complete the transaction, which was fucking bullshit.
That's annoying.
And then
I've had that happen with beer.
Ugh.
So I know, like trying to get tickets for like a rare beer release and like everything's in the cart. Yeah, same. It's fucking it's annoying.
Well, I saw online like a few minutes later that GameStop was taking pre-orders, but in store only. So I picked up my, my FAA credentials and told my boss I'd be right back.
I'm out.
Middle of the day, I was like, I gotta go take care of something. And I drove over to GameStop and there was they had, 7 available and I was number 6 in line.
Wow.
Yeah. Wrote a whole thing on it. See, it's called quote unquote, significantly more quantities. It's over on the Stone Age Gamer blog where I... Yeah, significantly more my ass.
That's all right. I'm just going to walk in and buy one.
So cartridges.
Yeah.
You said you had a segue for cartridges.
Oh, I did earlier. I said, you know, like repro carts, and then we were going to talk about
We're bringing it back, Dan.
We are bringing it back.
Cartridges.
It's not as well done as the first time, but...
Okay. It never could be. I can never do anything as well as you.
That's certainly true. I'm really excited about this story.
I am really excited about it, too.
The Capcom re-releasing collector's editions of Street Fighter II for the Super NES. Full cart, manual, box, the whole thing.
Functional Super NES cartridges.
Brand new. It's awesome. I love that this is happening. This is the kind of stuff, it's frightening that this is happening, I think, because this is just, if this does well, the glut of releases will probably get ridiculous, but this is a very cool thing from Capcom, who tends to be a little shitty with their anniversaries.
But they're going to be $100. And they're going to be distributed in two forms, glow-in-the-dark Blanca green and opaque Ryu headband red. And if I'm reading this correctly, you won't know which one you're going to get.
Does it matter?
Well, one of them's solid red, the other one's glow-in-the-dark green. I think the glow-in-the-dark green one's kind of cooler, but
I would want the glow-in-the-dark green one.
As would I. I wouldn't want a red one. But I don't want it at all because I have the original cartridge.
As do I. I think this is really cool.
I do. I think this is a very cool thing. What's the company they teamed up to do this with?
I am 8-bit.
Yeah. And I know they've done other stuff before of similar respect. Let me look up I am 8-bit real quick. Because what else did they do that I care deeply about? They did, Well, I'm seeing, they make socks. Yes! They make socks.
I don't think that's what you were referring
that,
to.
That wasn't what I was referring to. I feel like there's, like, some sort of, like, soundtracks and stuff like that. There's a Rez Collector's Edition on, like, audio cassette. That's the word I was looking at. Collector's Editions. What is this? Rez Infinite PC Collector's Edition. Looks like an audio cassette. Hyperlight Drifter for PS4. They did the physical game for Rez, it looks like. That was it. Hyperlight Drifter Collector's Edition. That's where I know these guys from.
Mm-hmm.
That one came there. It's I don't think it was an actual functioning cartridge, though. But for Hyper Light Drifter, they made a Super NES cartridge of it in a Super NES style box and everything. It was a collector's edition of Hyper Light Drifter.
See, that's yeah, fucking and it, cool.
Yeah, it just came with a game shell, and it came with a Steam PS4 Xbox One code, which is cool.
That's very cool.
And now they're making an actual Super NES cartridge, which is effing rad.
Well, and like there's a lot of this sort of stuff that happens. Like there's, you know, the physical version of Axiom Verge, and you know, the Shovel Knight version. That
oh yeah, and like Limited Run Games.
Limited Run Games. That's who it is who does this, and like it's always very small production runs, obviously, because this is not a mass market thing. But it is.
They're not making a new Super Nintendo game.
Yeah. But it is very cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of the musicians I really, really love, this dude, Frank Turner. He put out a record like 5-6 years ago called a Tape Deck Heart. And you could pre-order it. And if you pre-ordered it, you could get a cassette. It was like, that's just ridiculous. Like vinyl is a thing that I still don't get, but whatever. Like, nobody wants to listen to cassettes, but the fact that it was there was awesome.
Agreed. Yeah, there's no, like, nobody's reminiscing about the high fidelity of the cassette days.
No.
Really, the only thing good about cassettes was mixtapes.
Yeah, that was really the only good thing, but now I'll just make you a playlist. It's fine. Yeah.
Probably the most enjoyable thing about this, I remember reading the official press release for this, and there is a warning at the bottom. And the warning reads as follows. Use of this reproduction game cartridge, or the product, on the SNES gaming hardware may cause the SNES console to overheat or catch fire. The SNES hardware is deemed a vintage collectible, so please exercise extreme caution when using the product and make sure there is fire extinguishment equipment nearby. Use of the product is at the sole risk of the user.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I love everything about that. Fantastic.
Yeah, what's not to love about that? All right, moving right along. Did we talk about the Atari suing Nestle thing on the show?
No, we didn't. It's a weird story.
It's kind of hilarious. So Nestle made a Kit Kat commercial that aired in the UK where it looked like Breakout, kind of. Mm-hmm. And Atari was just like, give me all your money.
God damn it, Atari.
What?
Don't be shitty.
Like, now wait a second, Atari. They're making a commercial with Kit Kats that look like Breakout. But Nintendo was allowed to make Alleyway. Taito was allowed to make Arkanoid. Like, I'm sorry. Like, what is it about this Kit Kat commercial that is so specifically infringing on your Breakout property that...
Well,
there have been Breakout clones for eons.
I know.
What the hell?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Dude,
like,
the people running Atari right now are out of their gourds.
They really are. And
you know what? Let's get into the console market again, because that's going so well for everybody else.
Oh,
we're not going to be the Ouya. You know what people need? They need hats, but with speakers in them. Speaker hats, wave of the future. Did I see a Kit Kat commercial that looked like Breakout? Sue the crap out of him. What is going on at Atari? Oh,
I don't know, and it makes me so sad because it's the best logo.
It is the best logo.
It's the best logo.
I want the Atari box to be something kind of cool. I cannot imagine what it is that they think they're going to put on the market that's going to stand up to absolutely anything, but...
I don't know that they can imagine.
At all.
Like, what they're going to put out. It's just, we're doing a thing.
I mean, they're trying to revitalize that brand, and, you know, good on them for trying to revitalize the brand and not approaching it the way the people who currently own Coleco are doing that.
Well, because, there's an inherent love for, like, 8-bit NES games. And there's still an ability to play those games and appreciate them, even for young kids.
Yeah.
However, for the most part, with some exceptions, I would wager, if I sat one of my daughters down with adventure and be like, fuck is this? What are you doing? This is stupid. But they would play Zelda. It's just too far back, you know, so...
They were extraordinarily primitive, and there are definitely games that still hold up. And
sure,
and
combat is still fun if you're an adult, but, like, you know, I just... So the Atari box can't be a retro-focused thing, because that's not going to work.
No, but what properties do they own that they're really going to do something groundbreaking and amazing with? I mean, one of the new stories I was going to mention later was the Tempest 4000 story.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Tempest 4000 is being developed. Is that going to be for Atari box, though? I don't know. I don't know nothing. We'll talk more about Tempest
later. Yar's Revenge? Again?
Because like, the last time they rebooted that didn't... I heard that didn't go very well.
Mm-mm.
That was was Xbox 360, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
It had a neat concept, but it looked like it came out very poorly, which makes me sad, because, like, if there's a property that they could do something super cool with, it's Yar's Revenge. And
yeah.
I wish they would. But they could also do something cool with Sword Quest, right? They got all these Atari games... comic books that were coming out are still coming out. I don't know. I haven't seen them, but like apparently the Centipede comic book is way better than it has any right to be.
Right.
And there's a Sword Quest book that was supposed to be pretty good. I don't know, man. Atari's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused and saddened, and I love Kit Kats.
Who doesn't, though?
That's true. Who doesn't love Kit Kats? Do you not love Kit Kats? Right into the show. Mail@geekade.com. So let's see. Next up, we got a couple of new games released that I am varying levels of excited and intrigued by. First, I'll mention Super Meat Boy Forever. We finally got the curtain pulled back a bit more on that game. And I think it looks pretty good. I know like it originally seemed like it was coming out as a kind of offshoot mobile only thing, but now it looks like they've kind of transitioned this into being the Meat Boy sequel, and it's hitting consoles as well. It plays more like an Endless Runner kind of thing. Not Endless Runner, but you know, the character runs endlessly and you jump and dodge and whatnot. I think it looks great. The trailer I thought looked fantastic. I love Super Meat Boy.
I like Super Meat Boy. I am not as in love with Super Meat Boy as I feel like I'm supposed to be. It's fun, you know.
I'm really, really stoked that it's coming to Switch, the original one, because I have bought that game twice now, and both times I've never spent as much time with it as I wanted to, and I think that the Switch is going to solve that, because I feel like this game, I was begging for this game to come out on 3DS. This game needs to be portable. This game needs to be something I can pick up and play real quick and then move on to something else.
Yeah, just get a level or two in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was hard to do with the Wii U, and it was hard to do on the Xbox 360 that takes like 15 minutes to start up.
Yeah.
The Switch, though, that's perfect for Super Meat Boy, and I'm so jazzed that it's coming. And I'm super jazzed that Meat Boy Forever is coming to it as well. And another one that didn't officially get announced that I'm going to mention here anyway, it appears that VVVVVV is coming to Switch, which
I thought that was official now.
It's unofficially official.
Okay.
Like, they showed these blurred out images of icons that were coming to Switch.
Right.
And the VVVVVV one is like so blatantly that's what it is. Which I didn't pick up on. Somebody else pointed that out to me on Twitter, and I was like, oh yeah, that is definitely that. There's no way that is not that. So I'm super jazzed about that.
One of these days I'm going to sit down and play that game.
Oh my God. It's so short. What the hell, man?
Mm.
It's on PS4, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's totally on PS4. You have to play that game.
I don't have a good excuse. I just haven't.
You have to boot that up and then play that freaking Zelda game I lent you.
I don't have a good excuse for that either, Chris.
You're waiting for the Switch version, right? You're waiting to get it on Switch when you get your Switch?
Yep. And then I'll play the Wii U version.
You're going to buy it on Switch. Mail me that.
Yes. That's what's going to happen.
I'll have two copies. Speaking of runner type games, though, Runner 3 was delayed. That does make me a bit sad, but I can't be that sad about it. Like, I'm sad, selfishly sad,
sure,
for that one. But I mean, Choice Provisions, they put sent out a tweet on August 30th that says, the rumors are true. Runner 3 is coming to Nintendo Switch in early 2018. We promise it'll be worth the wait. For those curious, the delay occurred because we want to make Runner 3 the best game it can be. We hope that's an acceptable reason. I will say yes, that is it. That is an acceptable reason. I totally accept that reason.
You and I have talked about our feeling on delays before. If it's to make the game better, okay.
Live the dream.
Yeah, go nuts. Just make sure it's better than what you could have sent me. Now, we'll never know, but like...
That's true, but you know, it stands to reason.
It stands... You look at a game like No Man's Sky, and like, that game that came out with all this hype, and then when people bought it, they were like, oh, fucking weren't done.
Yeah, like, apparently now it's done.
Yeah.
I've been hearing recently, like, a couple of news stories popping up. Hey, No Man's Sky's good now. And like, didn't that game come out, like, a year ago?
Yeah, it's, like, 8 months later that, like, the patches are finally catching up to, like, make it acceptable. And that's not okay. That's not good.
That's not cool. That's not the way you do this.
So, you gotta delay it? Yeah, fucking delay it, man.
Oh, they showed off some gameplay videos of this, and Runner 2 was went before the Wii U came out. It was not just my most anticipated Wii U game. It was my most anticipated game of that generation. Like, I was so anticipating Runner 2. It was ridiculous. And Runner 3, just based on the pedigree, I was super stoked about. But the original trailer, while it looked really cool, one of the things I love about the Runner series is the music. Mm-hmm. And the song they used in the original trailer didn't quite grab me because it was super goofy, which matched the stage that they were showing off. Now I've seen some gameplay videos of this, and I am just, oh my God, this game looks incredible.
The way the camera moves around,
the alternating paths, including a double jump in the game, it just melted my brain watching. I watched two videos of stages and I'm done. Like, I was already sold to begin with, but I don't need to see an ounce more of this game. I is sold the second it is available. I need to have it. And I really would love to have a collection of the previous Runner games tossed on here too. Just cause, you know, give me the Bit Trip Saga and Runner 2 on my Switch. You know, I'd buy them again.
I would not be surprised. We need to take a time out here for a second so I can go get rid of these hiccups.
Okay.
Give me a minute. Okay, terrific.
And we're back.
Drinking water upside down works every time.
Always works for my wife, too.
Yeah, it's the best thing ever.
Breath holding works for me.
Does it? I've never been able to get that to work.
Never fails.
I have to breathe again. That's the problem. When I do, I hiccup.
That's the problem. I just hold my breath till I pass out. When I wake up, hiccups are gone.
Hiccups and memories. Things of the past.
Yep. I don't even remember the hiccups. I usually have to be informed of why I'm waking up on the floor.
Why am I here on this floor? Well, you see, Chris, you had hiccups. Did I? Do tell.
Speaking of game announcements, there's a Secret of Mana remake coming out.
I'm really excited about it.
That looks really sweet. I'm kind of weirded out by the fact that it's not on Switch.
That sucks.
It does, because it's coming out on Vita. It looks like it is certainly not too graphically powerful for the Switch.
No, it does not.
It looks kind of like a PS2 game, which I'm fine with. I think it looks pretty snazzy.
Yeah.
But this one, like, this is a real head-scratcher, because Secret of Mana is on the SNES Classic. Like,
yeah.
Secret of Mana is popular because the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. It's kind
of
weird.
It doesn't make a ton of sense, but Secret of Mana is an excellent game.
Yeah, it is excellent game, excellent music.
Yeah.
I'm just happy that it's happening, you know?
Me too.
I wish it was on Switch? Yay, but... Maybe it will be. It's still happening. Exactly. Who knows what the future holds? Like, Square seems to enjoy the Switch. Like, that's the other thing that's so weird about it. Like, Square's making all kinds of shit for Switch. Which they just said that they announced, like, some sort of thing they're going to be talking more about, that Octopath Traveler game, which looks stupid cool on the Switch. Which they haven't talked about since that original launch video.
Such a horrible name, though.
Yeah, terrible name. Stick it next to Bravely Default. What the hell, man? In completely confounding game announcement news, they're remaking Fear Effect.
Sure. I like the Fear Effect games.
I can't say that I ever spent any time with them.
They're good. It's a neat little mechanic. I don't know that people were clamoring for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the original Fear Effect. Square Enix is putting it out. It's called Fear Effect Reinvented, coming out on, oh, look at that, Nintendo Switch, Square Enix. What the hell? Why is this hitting Switch in secret? What the hell? Switch, PS4, PC, and Xbox One, because nothing, like, there's not even a comma when I'm looking at this on polygon.com. It says PC and Xbox One, because they're basically the same thing.
They are the same thing now.
Because there are no Xbox One games anymore. It's all PC and Xbox One. I'm so confused by that platform.
Is there on the Switch, like on the screen, when you take it out of the dock, mm-hmm. is there a camera on the back of it?
No.
Okay.
Does there need to be?
Well, for something like Fear Effect, there could be, you know, like a cool camera mechanic that you could maybe work out some way with that and make it portable.
Well, I mean, well, that's the thing.
Fear Effect's the game with the cameras, right? I'm not thinking of the wrong thing, am I?
I think you are. I think you're thinking of the game with the camera. That's a Fatal Frame.
Fuck, that's Fatal Frame. All right.
Yeah, Fear Effect was the game that, like, everyone made a huge deal out of Fear Effect 2, starred a couple of lesbians.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The cel-shaded graphics was kind of a shooter-ish, Resident Evil type
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Never mind. All right. Yeah, again, I don't know why that needs to be remade. Yeah. But I was
thinking
Fatal Frame
might get. Fatal Frame's got a big cult following and whatnot. They still make Fatal Frame games.
Yeah.
But,
sorry. That fucking total brain fart on that. Total poo-poo fart right there. Total,
Got a little PPF going on.
Little PPF. Damn. I'm getting old, Chris.
You and me both.
Getting old. Older by the minute.
So, yeah, that's the thing that's happening. There's a teaser. You can check it out. It's happening. Can't stop it. But the game announcement that's the best. The game announcement that is super exciting, beyond all super exciting. There's a new No More Heroes game coming out.
That's pretty awesome.
Travis Strikes Again, right?
Yes.
Strikes Again or Strikes Back. It's a... Oh, boy. And this is so ridiculous, because this is not No More Heroes 3.
No.
This is a, like, No More Heroes offshoot, where... I'm watching the trailer, and I'm like, all right, this is just classic No More Heroes. There's Travis touchdown with his lightsaber, getting into a fight with a guy, and then a game system starts talking to him. I'm like, what the hell? So the game takes place, like, he gets sucked into an evil game console.
Sure.
And then he has to do things in different, like, indie game worlds.
Which is awesome.
I'm so excited. I love this franchise. I love the No More Heroes games. And I'm so glad that Suda51's not done with them. Because, like, they don't sell as well as he'd like them to, or as well as they should.
Right.
Like, the first game on Wii was great. It was one of the smartest uses of motion control anyone did. I think it is hands down the best use of the Wii remote, because it was waggle when it needed to be. It was button presses for all your attacks, and then when you get done, it'll be like a couple of arrows on the screen, and you pick up both controllers, and Travis will body slam somebody, and that's how you do that shit.
Right.
You get into a sword lock with somebody, and you shake the controller, and if you shake it fast enough, you win the sword lock. The speaker on the Wii remote, you had like phone calls that you'd get, and you had to hold it up to your ear because it came out super quiet out of the speaker. So you had to hold the thing up to your ear like a phone to listen to the characters talk to you in the game while on Travis's phone. Super, super smart integration of Wii remote controls. And then they made a sequel for Wii, and it was also awesome. And then they made an HD collection, and it didn't, you know, set the world on fire like it should have.
Right.
Like, that and game in HD on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 should have sold in the millions.
It should have, and it just didn't.
And it just didn't, and I don't know why. But he's not giving up on the series. He also said that if this game does well, he'd be all about doing a No More Heroes 3. I think that the Switch is a really good place for this game.
It is.
I feel like the momentum that the Switch has with this kind of weird game is really on point right now. I feel like this is probably the best home for it, either this or PS4. And I'm glad he went with Switch, because I'm a Nintendo fanatic, but I'm glad it's not an Xbox One.
I would not be surprised if this makes its way to PlayStation 4 at some point. Really only because Suda51 has put most of his games have ended up on a PlayStation console.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he, I love this. I've loved this dude like since Super Fire Pro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
I've loved him since Killer 7 because I didn't know about Super Fire Pro.
Killer 7 is incredible. The Samurai Champloo game that he made is great.
Good.
No More Heroes is great.
I didn't know that was him.
Yeah. Sinamora, the shooter.
Oh, I didn't play that. I didn't play Killer is Dead either, but I heard that was great.
It's so good. Fucking Lollipop Chainsaw. It's fucking fun. Like, it's not
He makes crazy games.
He makes weird shit, and I love it.
I love that, yeah. I absolutely love it. And Travis Touchdown is such a ridiculous character. I wish there was a good way to get him in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's even more risque than Bayonetta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he would be so awesome in Smash Brothers. He would be hilarious. Mostly just because I want a Travis Touchdown amiibo more than, like, anything in the world.
It, like... Suda 51 makes punk rock video games.
He does.
And that's awesome.
It's funny that you say that because was it him? I feel like it was him that said, I need to look this up now. Suda 51. Riveting.
Like, he is very much, his shit feels like a very punk rock DIY, like Troma Films kind of aesthetic, and just I'm doing this shit because I know what I want to make and nobody else can make this thing that I want to make.
Yeah, Suda 51 was recently quoted as saying that he likes Nintendo, he likes making his games for Nintendo consoles because he feels that Nintendo is, quote, by far the most punk hardware manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I get that.
No, I don't disagree with that at all.
The only reason I don't disagree with it is, like, the company itself is not punk, but I would say that the hardware itself is as a tendency to be different for different sake, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes that works out well, and other times it's the Wii U, but
it's marching to the beat of their own drummers.
Exactly, they do their own thing, and
still
you gotta
love
that.
Such a shame. The Wii U is such a good system.
It is a system with a lot of good games on it.
That's what I'll
say.
Anyway,
back to business here. Let's do one more news story and then we'll take a quick break.
Okay.
And this one just puts a big dumb smile on my face. So I'm poking around on the old Twitters,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed that Nintendo Force, who I follow on Twitter, as well as Andre Seegers from Game Explain, Andre Seegers posted the picture of the limited edition Metroid Samus Returns box art.
Right.
And if you look at the back of it, Nintendo misspelled the word Metroids.
That's awesome.
Nintendo Force pointed out on Andre's tweet on August 29th that Metroids is misspelled as Metrioids.
The
text on the Game Boy back cover.
They're the much scarier.
Because it's got a reversible cover. Yeah.
scarier older brothers of the Metroids, the Metrioid. Yeah.
So, yeah, they got leaves and everything. It's weird. they also said Nintendo is pulling a cap palm over here. That one time they spelled their own name wrong on a game, which was hysterical.
Fabulous.
Capcom is awesome. They misspelled Resident Evil on one of their games. They left the IGN logo on Okami for Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Capcom's awesome. But this is some funny stuff. Yeah, it's so the collector's edition has a reversible cover, and when you reverse it, it makes it into the Game Boy box art, which is awesome.
That's pretty cool.
And it's got a word for word, cuz I was looking at it, I compared it to my Game Boy box, and it's got a word for word matchup of the back of the box for Metroid 2, except they misspelled Metroids in the text, which, I mean, good job, guys. They couldn't find, like, a file to just copy-paste. Somebody had to type it from scratch.
Had to.
And they just didn't spell-check Metroids, because I guess you can't really spell-check a word that's not a word.
No, you can, because you add it to your dictionary the first time you spell it right, and then it's just in there.
Then it's just in there. Valid point.
God damn.
And it's the collector's edition, too. Like, this reversible cover isn't in the standard edition, which...
Which is kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like that should be a collector's edition thing. You know,
I mean, I agree. I mean, I wouldn't flip it over just because the new cover art is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, man, and
it is still kind of a cool thing.
The fuck do I care? I'm gonna buy it and throw the box out. Like, I don't fucking care. But
you're not doing. I figured you'd do it digital.
I might. I don't. Well, because there's so little space on the 3DS.
Oh, you don't have an SD card?
No, I do. It's just because then when I buy other shit, like, I have to worry about, like, either deleting stuff or switching SD cards, and, like, I don't
care
for
that. How big's your SD card? I have more room on my 3DS than I could ever possibly fill. I have, like, 80 games on my 3DS. It's ridiculous.
Maybe I can fit more than I think I can. I ran into the problem with the Vita so much.
The Vita used proprietary friggin' memory cards.
I know, and I have the biggest one. Which was very expensive, but, you know, like, I don't know. I might just get it digitally, but I don't have a ton of, like, 3DS games. So, like, that, I'll just fucking get the thing.
I have a shocking amount of 3DS games. Like, when I did a count of 3DS games, including downloadable stuff, I was quite astonished with the amount of games I have on the 3DS. It's kind of stupid, really.
But honestly, my portable time is taken up by Pad.
And I assume Pad is one of your 3DS games, right?
No, it's not. I don't have that.
You
one.
Didn't get that? No. You didn't get Puzzle and Dragon Z? I heard it was there was a really good version.
I'm sure it is. I don't need another version. At this point, with a Japanese account, an American account, and an alternate American account, I don't...
This isn't about need, Dan. This isn't about need. We're not talking needs here.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few more news stories and call it a night. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around.
Just saying, if any of our listeners want to contribute, somebody does have a birthday coming up in October. So,
It's my wife. She has a birthday.
No, it's not your wife. Wait, I'm your wife. Shit.
You're my man wife.
And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, autumn is in the air. The leaves are changing, kids are going back to school mercifully, and every food now has a pumpkin spice flavored counterpart.
Pumpkin spice life.
Yeah, I'm not into the pumpkin spice life. I'm spiceless.
Because you're cotton.
It's true. Better red than dead.
Better red than orange, I suppose.
Orange is the New Black. Good show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Anyway, nothing goes along with hoodie and bonfire weather better than some new music. And Janelle is back with her monthly music column to tell us about new releases from Thomas Rhett, Ringo Starr, The Killers, and apparently a Miley Cyrus album that's not awful, which I don't believe her, but you know what? You do you. She doesn't seem to steer me wrong. Check out Turn It Up new music releases for September 2017, located in the think tank.
Dude, not gonna lie, Miley Cyrus's last record, Bangers, was fucking great.
I will take your word for it.
It was great. Like, not even just that Wrecking Ball song, which is awesome, but, like, it was just weird and fucking strange and interesting, and it was fucking great. Unlike the new Katy Perry, which I don't know if you've seen the new Katy Perry video, but you really should, because
I am so far away from anything relating to modern music, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's fair. I just want Iggy Azalea to come back, Chris. That's all I want. Anyway, next, Dave and Jengiz are back to discuss all matters in tabletop gaming. Along the way, they cover the big commanders in Commander 2017, their personal uncards, the recent Laxan leaks? Yaxan?
I think it's Ixalan.
Ixalan?
I spent like 4 minutes trying to pronounce that last night on TWEP.
Does it matter?
Not to me.
Okay. Sexy Jace, some of their D&D preferences, and the Game of Thrones RPG. Get all the gaming action you can handle in You Shall Not Pass Go, episode 19, Leaks and Tweaks.
Leaks and Tweaks.
I assume I'm not supposed to read that as Leaks and Tweaks.
This is also funny. See, I didn't write this. Karen wrote this. Okay. And I read the one that you just read last night.
Right.
And I pronounced it as Leaks and Tweaks because I assumed that was some D&D or Magic Gathering term I didn't know about.
I mean, she is an editor, correct?
She is, but okay. She's doing this when she's not editing.
Okay. Just, all right.
This is one of those things where, like yesterday, because it's a short week, she contacted me and was like, hey, have you written the script yet for tonight? Because we have a show tonight. And I'm like, ah, crap. I've got, like, 9 hours worth of work to do in 6 hours. She's like, all right, I can take care of it. Just give me the topics. And so I'll send her topics, and then she'll type them up really quick and usually give Evan something that's difficult to pronounce because that's always funny.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, then, do you ever think about the books that you read as a kid and wonder what it might be like to read them now? Kikade's Gabby took a break from her usual home automation coverage to discover what kind of relevance some turn-of-the-century young adult novels could have to her modern 21st century life. Find out more in Little House, Revisiting a Childhood Classic, also located in the think tank.
I love this idea. I want to go back and now reread Phantom Soldiers and write an article about it.
I'm going to go back and read The Wonderful Flight to the Mushroom Planet.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a book.
I assumed that.
It's got pages. I remember almost nothing about
pages
it.
Pages and words. Was that your favorite book as a kid?
It was.
Wonderful.
That and the instruction manual of Super Mario Brothers.
Fucking nerd. Phantom Pole Booth, man. That is the correct answer. So good. Finally, for your fourth visit to the Nonstop Comic Shop, Jordan dives way back to the seriously silly Silver Age with his review of The Amazing Spider-Man 14, featuring the first ever appearance of the Green Goblin. After the break, our hosts compare and contrast the classic Batman the Animated Series episode, Harlequinade, with more recent versions of Batman and Harley Quinn. For all this and more, download Nonstop Comic Shop Episode 4, The Trilogy Continues.
You know, not for nothing, I dig our new comic book show, but it does stop.
Yeah?
Like, the episodes end at some point. It's a misnomer. Jordan, very disappointed.
You better fix that. Jordan, I expect you to be talking constantly.
You either have to nonstop, just keep going. Episodes never end. Just a single episode for all eternity. Or call it Nonstop Comic Shop That Actually Stops at the End of the Episode. Which really is not a catchy title. We're going to need to work.
We're going to need to work on that.
Jordan, keep up the good work. And you can catch up all this great stuff, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com.
We might do the best commercials.
We might. Someday. Everybody, we are back. We've got a few more news stories to talk about. First up is the most important announcement in the history of announcements that I don't even know if it actually got announced, but I discovered it. So here's what happened. The other day, I don't even know how I got here, but I discovered on Amazon that there is a perfect edition of Bubsy the Wily Strike Back. This game is getting a physical release. I did not know that. And there is a limited edition called the Perfect Edition, which includes the game, the Bubsy Wooly Strike Back official soundtrack, Bubsy's business card, and a mystery postcard. It's for PlayStation 4. It's $40. And Dean and I both immediately pre-ordered it.
Jesus Christ.
I don't even have a PlayStation 4.
Holy shit.
And this is what happened with PlayStation 3. Metal Gear Solid. Metal Gear Solid was coming out on PlayStation 3. 3 was Metal Gear Solid 4. I pre-ordered the limited edition of that game and bought it before I had a PS3. And Bubsy is doing this to me on PS4. And this is what Cosmic Injustice is all about, because I was able to snag a pre-order for the limited edition of Bubsy, but not the limited edition of Metroid. I on the same order got the limited edition of, and there's a new trailer for this Bubsy game and it looks freaking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Looks bad, and I'm so excited for it. Yeah, I this ordered this and Metroid suck. In the same order, and I felt dirty and wonderful at the same time. Because I have every version of Bubsy except the twofer, because there's no physical version of that.
Well, I mean, why would you? Why wouldn't you?
Wouldn't I spend an extra $10 for something as completely effing absurd as a limited edition of this Bubsy game that nobody wants? Why this?
This really is absurd.
And like, it comes with a soundtrack. Okay, sure,
great.
But then you've got like this mystery thing and a mystery postcard and a Bubsy's business card. That kind of shit came with the Genesis version of the original Bubsy for free.
What if this is a great game?
It might play great. Like, when I say that it looks crappy, I mean that it physically looks awful. Like, it just doesn't look good. But, I mean, it looks like a competent platformer that's... See, here's the miracle of modern technology, though. Instead of only quipping between stages, now Bubsy doesn't seem to ever shut the fuck up.
Which is so much better.
It looks like a masterpiece of torture.
What if it's the best platformer ever made, though?
I would be astonished.
We'll have to quit.
We'll have to go back to picking on Ninja Turtles for NES.
We really will. Until somebody remakes that. Are we the reason, Chris?
Is this somebody was doing this for Dean? Somebody did this just
Some
for
listener
Dean.
Of the show was like, I'll show that motherfucker.
Seriously, I'm sitting at work. I looked at something on Amazon, and this Bubsy thing showed up, and I immediately messaged Dean, and his immediate response was pre-ordered. It's like, fine, me too, done, I'm in.
It's a wonderful thing to be an adult with some amount of disposable income.
This is the dumbest purchase I think I've ever made in my life.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. Made dumber purchases. This ranks.
Oh, this is up there. It's up there.
So let's see. This is a weird piece of news. Mario is not really a plumber anymore. Mario is now officially a freelancer.
Yeah, no shit. Like, is that something we needed to be told? Like, is that something that needed to be official?
I guess. I mean, I can't remember the last time he actually plumbed anything.
He hasn't plumbed anything ever. Like, he went through a pipe. He didn't fix anything.
Technically a plumber in Mario Brothers, the arcade game. Him and his brother went down into the sewers to try to...
Look, Chris, all of his power-ups, has there ever been one with a wrench?
You know what? I feel like there's got to be. I feel like there just has to be.
Most on-the-nose one has never existed. He's been a fucking space explorer. He's had a talking water pack. He's played soccer for some reason and tennis.
Baseball.
He's been a referee. Racing.
Yep.
Construction worker.
Demolitions expert.
Well, he's been a scientist.
Typing tutor.
A doctor. He's never had a wrench in his hand, though. The plumber has never... had a wrench in his hand.
That doesn't count. Super Mario Brothers Super Show, he plumbed the crap out of things. He found the secret... They're the Mario Brothers, and plumbing's their game. They found the secret warp zone while working on the drain.
I don't think that
counts. Oh, it counts!
I don't think it...
Dennis Hopper, Super Mario Brothers the movie. Plumbers.
Poor dead Dennis Hopper.
Jesus. Okay, so yeah, we mentioned this earlier. Tempest 4000 is the thing that's coming out. I don't remember if we talked about this on the show, but in case we didn't, Jeff Minter is developing and Atari is publishing Tempest 4000.
I hope it's great. I really do.
I hope it's great too. I can't imagine it won't be. I just know that Jeff Minter, he made that TXK game. It was he put out a tweet like back in 2015. Says, "So yeah, all the stuff we had ready or near ready will now never see the light of day. So no TXK, PC, PS4, Oculus, Gear VR, Android. Thank quote unquote Atari." So that clearly wasn't going well back then.
No,
he had some nasty words for Atari. But now they've seemed to have made good.
But apparently, some crazy people took over in Atari. Yeah.
Probably offered him some speaker hats. They're like, yo, Minter, I got you some hats.
I got you some speaker hats. They may not make America great again, but they will ruin your fucking hearing. Let's go. Tempest 4000.
They'll annoy everyone around you.
So they'll make you kind of great.
Have you ever wanted to listen to music with your eyes? Because that's where the speakers are, over your eyes.
That's how eyes work, right?
Specifically, yes. So that's neat news. I'm happy about it. Tempest 2000's awesome. I never played 3000. I don't remember what 3000 was on.
Tempest games are always good.
Yeah, good times. Yeah, Tempest. So I think we mentioned this on the show once before, and I don't remember why, but there was a thing called Barcode Battler for Game Boy.
Yeah.
Somebody finally properly emulated it. Like made that business happen. Apparently you've been able to like do sorts of things with it for years, but this dude like actually sat down and made that shit work.
And was like, no, I'm gonna make this work for real.
See, I'm looking at a website called Retro Collect. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Where's the guy? The quick introduction to Barcode Boy brings in. Prior to 2017, the two compatible games released, Monster Maker and Battle Space, ooh, what great names, were almost pointless to play without the original accessory on hand, as without a barcode scanner, the gameplay was somewhat limited. Two emulators supposedly offered support for the Barcode Boy already, KIGB and GEST. However, their way of handling the fact a scanner was absent from play was to feed the game's random data to simulate a barcode being scanned. So basically, if you don't know already, the Barcode Battler thing, you would scan barcodes for literally anything, and then it would like generate something in the game.
Yeah, like a can of Coke or
yeah,
package of condoms.
Yeah, or both.
Or both.
So this dude named Shonumi went balls to the wall and just made a legit version of it. So there you go. It's been done. Yay. Get on it, folks.
Who has this much free time?
I love that it's a thing. Like no, I am so over the moon about it. I love it, but at the same time I'm befuddled. I'm befuddled.
This is pleasantly why I'm confident so. SimCity will be dumped.
Fingers crossed, man. It's got to. Those people have to let go of the cartridges long enough for somebody to do it. That's what it comes down to. Is that like they need to let someone do it? It's not a matter of perseverance on anyone's part, other than maybe them breaking into their houses and stealing it if they want to be dicks and just hoard it forever. But speaking of over the moon, an astronaut took a picture of the moon with a Game Boy camera, and it's awesome.
Because everyone who works for NASA is a nerd.
Exactly. And that's awesome.
It is awesome.
So this, let's see here. How do you say this word? Astrographer?
I don't think that's it.
Astrographer. That doesn't make sense as a word. I don't think that's a word. Engadget, I think you're full of shit.
It's an astrographer. Like a cartographer.
Yeah, but that P doesn't belong there. Because that's saying astrographer.
No, it's like an F. Like a PH. Come on, we'll go back to
phonics. But if you're saying astrographer, That PH between the G and the R shouldn't be there. It should be A-S-T-R-O-G-R-A-P-H-A-R. But this is saying Astro G-P-H-R-A-P-H-E-R. So this word is astrographer.
An astrographer.
Astrographer.
Metrioids, Chris.
Metrioids. Alexander Pietro used a universal cell phone mount to strap one of the 19-year-old monochrome workhorses to an appropriately old telescope built in 1838. So, yeah, he's not an astronaut. Okay, he didn't go to space to do it. He just pointed it into a telescope,
which is
still awesome.
He's just a regular nerd.
He's just a regular nerd. But the pictures are freaking cool, man.
It is cool. Game Boy camera was cool.
Game Boy camera, let's see, the Game Boy camera takes photos at a whopping 112 by 128 pixel resolution.
That is some density right there.
Again, that's coming from, I'm reading Engadget's words on this. I just want to make sure I'm giving credit where credit's due. But these pictures are super cool. I'll put a link in the show notes. You got to check them out.
Better than the sewing machine, Chris.
What isn't better than the sewing machine?
Not.
That SNES prototype for Rayman, back in July, it was made available for people to play. That was back in July. I don't know why I mention it now, but I thought it was neat.
Because we haven't done a news
worth
show
saying
since
out
then.
Loud. Yeah, I think we talked about some of the Street Fighter stuff, but
a little bit. Do you even like? Does anybody even like Rayman?
I think people like the original Rayman.
Do they? Fucking hate that game.
I liked the Game Boy Color Rayman. I didn't care much for the like Jaguar and PlayStation 1 game too much. That didn't really do it for me. Looked neat, but
I really dislike the design of the character. I just don't like anything about it.
Have you played the new Rayman games at all?
No, I don't like Rayman. Well, I would not play the new ones.
Those you should put some time into, because that's Michel Ancel doing what Rayman should have always been in the first place. And they're very good games.
Yeah. I don't know.
Rayman Legends is on PS4. Yeah. It's probably dirt cheap. I highly recommend giving that a try.
I just don't think they're for me, Chris.
It plays nothing like the original Rayman games.
Does it still look like Rayman? That's kind of where I have the problem.
The art direction is completely different. Like, okay. He's still technically that character, mm-hmm. but he looks far more stylized, looks a lot better, and the worlds around him are stunning. Hmm. It's really, really gorgeous. You respect Michel Ancel and his work for
sure.
Beyond Good and Evil, obviously. You've got to try this game. It's nuts. It's really, really nuts. Definitely give it a shot. It's nothing like the old Rayman game.
All right. After Breath of the Wild.
After Breath of the Wild and whatever the other one we were talking about earlier.
V-V-V-V-V-V.
Add it to your list.
Okay.
Let's see. The last two, we're just going to talk about some fighting game things. They announced the first new character, all new character they're adding to ARMS for free. They already added Max Brass, but he was the boss character,
right.
So we already knew what he was like. The new character is Lollapop. Did you see any of this, Dan?
A little bit.
She's an inflatable clown.
Yeah.
It's frightening. I love this game. I love the sheer absurdity of the character designs in this game. So everyone's got a different thing that makes their arms all coily.
Right.
And like, you know, Max Brass was belts, and Spring Man is springs, Ribbon Girl is ribbons. There's a dude who uses snakes, and there's a mummy and a DNA strand. Like, they're so freaking clever. And this one is balloon animals.
So weird. I like that it's kind of timed to come out with the re-release of It. That kind of makes me happy.
I didn't even think of that. That's hilarious. Oh, God.
Which, speaking of the best commercials, there is a viral marketing campaign going on for It right now where people are, like, going around and tying red balloons to sewer grates. Fucking horrifying. Like, if you were walking by a sewer grate and you're of a certain age and you saw a red balloon tied to it, you would shit your pants. You would be very upset.
On the spot.
On the spot. Instant terror.
And poop.
And poop.
So yeah, Lollipop. I'm excited. They haven't announced exactly when she's coming yet, but it's a free update for ARMS. I'm game.
That's very cool.
I'm in. Yeah.
She looks ridiculous.
She does.
And in a good sort of way, though.
Yeah, fits in with the, and I believe she is one of a more than one characters that are coming out. Like, they're going to try to keep this going long term, and I think that's a really cool thing that they're doing with that. They, you know, it worked out well with the first platoon, so
trying to come up with a fun challenge for themselves. Like, how much more can we do with this concept? I don't know, but we're going to keep releasing them for free.
As long as it's free, I'm in.
As long as we don't get to the other aspect of Stephen King, we're like, oh, it's a lamp monster. Like, all right.
All right. Our last news story. I don't remember if we mentioned this. I don't think we did. There's a fighting game from Eureka called EXC coming out, and it's going to have Darun Meister and Skullomania from Street Fighter EX in it. It was announced on April Fool's Day, I think. And it's announced to be coming out on April Fool's Day. So there still seems to be this big question of whether or not this is actually a real game. But there's trailers. It looks real. And it's got the two... It's got two characters from the awful Street Fighter EX games.
I kind of like Skullomania, though, just because he's so awful.
Like, it's both of these characters.
Just Street Fighter Skullomania EX is so
dumb,
bad.
But it's like... I don't know, Skullomania, he kind of owned his dumbness, and I thought Darun was a pretty decent character design. I think Doctrine Dark is a little freaky.
Well,
there wasn't a lot of great original characters in Street Fighter EX, I don't think. I do think it's weird that that none of the EX characters appeared in any future Street Fighter games, because I think it would be really cool to have them reinvented in a 2D Street Fighter game proper, but if they threw them in Street Fighter V, they'd probably suck anyway.
Give me Skullomania and Street Fighter V.
What
it is
about Street Fighter V, but it does not work for me. I wish it did, because I love Street Fighter to death, but I vastly prefer Street Fighter 4 to 5. Anyway, yes, this is a thing.
It's kind of cool. I hope it's real. Cool.
Me too, because they look good, you know, and I don't know if Eureka's good at making fighting games. They made Street Fighter EX, but what else have they done? A-R-I-K-A. What do you guys do? What is your list of games?
I hope it's Street Fighter just EX. Street Fighter EX.
Oh, they worked with Nintendo on a bunch of stuff. Okay, all right. I have a very mixed feelings about these guys, because they did all the Street Fighter EX games, which I don't care for, but they did weird stuff for Nintendo, like Endless Ocean.
Okay.
But they also did the Dr. Mario games, which I feel have been played well, but are very lazy, like, as far as presentation is concerned. Not that you need to have a crazy presentation in Dr. Mario, but I wrote an article about this a while back, how, like, each progressive Dr. Mario release gets lazier in its overall presentation. Like, they've used the same menu, like, the actual assets from the damn menu over and over again.
Well, but it's much like an actual doctor. Like, after a while, you just get late. Like, you have a fucking cold. Go away.
They also did the 3D classics for the 3DS. And those are phenomenal, especially the Kid Icarus one.
Right. Adding all the backgrounds and making it cool.
Outstanding. Kirby's Adventure one was great. Twinbee was great. Urban Champion was pointless. I assume somebody put a gun to their head and said, make this 3D, and they said, sure.
Why not? You're going to pay us, so okay.
The Excitebike one was great. I mean, so yeah, these guys have a weird history of games. They made a Dragon Ball game at one point, a couple of Tetris games. So they've done some, Tekken 3D for 3DS. They did that. That's kind of cool.
That one's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest Tekken, but it's...
No, but they made it portable. They made a decent playable portable Tekken game.
Yeah.
Like, because Tekken Advance was weird.
Yeah, that's not.
So, yeah, that's it. That's all we got for you, folks, ladies and gentlemen. That's our show. How you feeling, Dan?
I'm tired, Chris.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not usually tired when we do the show, but I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm pretty beat. I'm working hard at work, so.
I haven't been doing that. I'm just tired. Just lack of sleep and getting older.
Oh, my everything. It's all about excitement for Metroid at this point.
Yeah.
Stoked. All right, that's our show. Join us next week when we'll be joined by author Patrick Hickey Jr. for real this time.
For real, we promise.
I'm not lying. To talk about his new book and about how games were made. I've read a preview chapter, and I'm very interested to hear more about it. These are the words that I read last week because I didn't bother rewriting the script because I'm talking about the same thing. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris. That's Geekade KRIS. And Dan is at
Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher. Or if you're super duper nice, you can leave us a super duper review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated, especially when it's super duper. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. We'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com, where we post something new every single day. You heard me.
In October.
Yeah, that's... We're September. So far, so good. That's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.